Well, today's Mother's Day, if you didn't know that already. And, you know, it's really a great time to reflect on the gifts. It is a gift from God, mothers are. It's a role that nurtures our lives. And it's a day that we could celebrate and appreciate, a day that we can honor our mothers and grandmothers and our spiritual mothers and all who nurture others in the love of Christ. You know, motherhood is not just a biological role. It's a divine calling. It's about nurturing and guiding and loving others in a way that reflects the very heart of God. And whether you're a mother or have a mother or know a mother, really this message applies to you. Because, ladies, you're all important. You know, there's some biblical principles in the way we should honor the wisdom and the divine love that our mothers have given us. And we need to understand that is what motherhood is. When we honor our mothers, that statement comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Where it says, honor your father and mother, and then you will live a long and full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know, the command to honor parents is one of the Ten Commandments given directly by God to His people. And the Hebrew word there, when you look at what it means to honor, it conveys this sense of value. A very deep respect. You know, to honor one's mother is not merely an act of obedience, but an expression of gratitude, and it's a recognition given to her by God Himself. It's a God-given role. When we look at this commandment, it is unique because it's the first commandment with a promise. Then you will live long and full life in the land the Lord has given you. Amen. And I say that, you know, I think that's important for us to remember. Because when your father says, son, do what your mother says, you better listen. Because he says, if you do listen, you'll live a long and full life. If you don't listen, you may not, right? That's what it says in the Scripture, right? I kind of think that's what the Father meant when He said that. That promise doesn't mean or guarantee a lifespan extension, because we know this world's full of curveballs. But it's rather a life lived in God's order and blessing. And honoring parents creates a culture of respect, stability, and divine favor. It's something I hope that our culture never abandons, which I see so many right now. It's such a subject that I'm not going to get into this morning too much, because we see a culture that wants to abandon this. Jesus Himself affirmed this commandment in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. And He's challenging those who neglected in the name of religious traditions. It's kind of a strange thing what they were doing. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of a father and mother should be put to death. There again, man, that's a strong statement, isn't it? This passage is, Jesus is referring to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. He's rebuking the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, again, it says, honoring your father and mother, and then you'll live a long and full life in the land the Lord has given you. In Exodus 21:17, says, anyone who kidnaps someone or either sells them or still has them when they are caught must die. Think of that. And here's what was happening. The Pharisees had created this tradition. It's like the practice of Corban, which is found in Mark chapter 7, verse 11 and 13, and which allowed people to declare their possessions as dedicated to God, and it thereby excused them from their duties and care for their parents. Kind of strange, isn't it? Mark chapter 7, 11, 13 says this, but you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition, and this is only one example among many others. You know, Jesus is condemning this as a distortion of God's law. One that really prioritized man-made rules over divine commandments. And Jesus, he rebukes the Pharisees in their hypocrisy. And Jesus, his criticism of the Pharisees, it really points to a deeper issue. Because when tradition and personal gain override the love and care we are called to show others, particularly our parents, especially our parents, we distort the heart of God in His law. So let's go back to Matthew 15:4. It says, for instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of a father or mother must be put to death. Man, that is a strong statement. We look at the Greek words here for honor again, which means more than just a verbal respect. It involves a tangible act and care and support. True honor is not just half-hearted words. It's lived out in love and responsibility and obedience to God's commands. And that verse reminds us that God takes honoring parents seriously. Not as just a suggestion, but as a command woven into the fabric of godly lives. Jesus calls out the Pharisees for making excuses not to care for their parents under the guise of religious giving. Terrible excuse, isn't it? Man, it's really kind of a sober reminder that honoring mothers is not just about words. It requires action, care, and appreciation. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I have at times. I'm guilty of that. I've been so busy in my life, there's been times that I've not called when I should. I admit that. My mom's right here with me this morning. She knows that. I look back in my life and I think there were times when I wasn't so good to my mom, right? But I think now, you know, now that I've come to know the Lord a little better, He kind of puts His thumb on me and He says, you know, honor your mother and your father. Care for them. Respect them. Love them. Not just with your words, which words are important. Phone calls are important. But also with your actions. So as we honor our parents, we are also honoring God's design for relationship in society.
Okay.
You know, we actively seek justice and defend dignity of others, and we seek the dignity or to help others that are oppressed, and that's God's heart, to help the vulnerable. That's part of our mission statement in the Nazarene Church, is to help the ones that can't help themselves. That's where we started. I think about the countless sacrifices that a mother makes, often unnoticed, and late nights caring for sick children and countless prayers whispered for her family and the countless ways she puts the needs of others before her own. So honor your mother, not just today, but throughout the whole year. Amen?
Amen.
And I know that there's some here today that their mothers have passed on, but we can honor their memory by living the way that reflects her godly influence. Sometimes we have strained relationships, and I think God calls us to find reconciliation in Christ. And if you know a mother who's struggling, I would ask you to be encouraging to her. Honor is the language of love in action. Max Lucado wrote that. You know, true honor is not just verbal, it's demonstrated through love in action. And just as God's love is tangible and sacrificial, our honor for mothers should be expressed in constant, meaningful ways that reflect God's love. Exodus 20:12 again says, honor your father and your mother. For many of us, it brings memories, gratitude, and love, but not for everyone. For others, those words bring confusion and sometimes grief and fear and even trauma. Because not every parent has reflected the heart of God, and some have been very neglectful. Some have been very controlling, and some have been verbally abusive and emotionally abusive and physically abusive or even spiritually abusive. So the question becomes this: how do we honor parents who have wounded us deeply? We have to understand that God's command to honor parents was never meant to trap people in abuse either. God never excuses abuse. Before we talk about honoring parents, we first have to understand the character of God, because God's a loving and gracious and forgiving God. God's holy, and God is just, and God protects the vulnerable. And throughout Scripture, God condemns those who misuse authority and oppress others. And parents are not given ultimate power. In fact, the Bible gives strong warnings to parents. Listen to this, what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children. You know, the same Bible that tells children to honor their parents also tells parents that they are accountable before God for how they treat their children too. Wow, that's a big responsibility, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Right? I think about abuse as sinful things. Manipulation is sin. Cruelty is sin. And violence is sin. And God's against that. Right? Sometimes people use the phrase honor your parents to silence victims or to protect abusers. But that's not the heart of God either. And Jesus never sided with the oppression of people. He defended the wounded, and he didn't overlook them. He defended the brokenhearted. Because really, truthfully, when it comes down to it, honoring, the word honor does not mean enabling sin, right? That's why the Bible says we can love the sinner but hate the sin. We don't honor the sin. Because let me tell you, the transformation that God can bring can change any heart. Amen? Even the hardest hearts, He can melt. Many people think honoring parents means never disagreeing, never confronting, never setting boundaries or never walking away from a harmful behavior. But the Bible, honor is not the same as enabling destructive behavior. You can honor someone's position without approving their sin. Amen?
Amen.
You know, David, we look at David and his relationship with King Saul. Really, King Saul became a father figure to David, but yet David, he fled from Saul when Saul tried to kill him, but David did not hate Saul. Neither did he remain in danger unnecessarily. He fled, right? And even when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, when Saul was in, you know, when David was hiding in the cave and Saul came into the cave, he did not. And he confronted him about it. He said, you know, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. Because it's not for me to do. Even Jesus sometimes withdraw from toxic and hostile people. We see that in the Scripture. The Bible says in John chapter 2 that Jesus did not entrust Himself with certain people because He knew what was in their hearts. And I would remind you that that sometimes we have to do that. There are toxic people that sometimes are in our lives, and sometimes we have to remove ourselves from that. There's a powerful lesson, though, in love doesn't require the absence of wisdom. God gives us free will, and if we ask Him, He will give us wisdom and discernment. And sometimes honoring abusive moments may mean refusing revenge and speaking truth with grace and praying for them, but also maintaining healthy boundaries. Boundaries are not hatred. Why do I say all this? Because we learn from God.
Yeah, we love God.
That's right. But we can learn from our godly mothers. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 31, 26 and 28 says, when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing for laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There you go. I didn't say it. Come on, kids. Come on, husband. I don't see you guys clapping for that, right?
Amen.
Wives are like, yes, hear it, preach it, right?
Yeah.
You know, a virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 is an example of wisdom and kindness and diligence. That Hebrew word of kindness, it's chesed is the word there, but it speaks of a love and mercy and a reflection of God's own nature, which is love and mercy. If we're going to be like Christ, then we present ourselves as little Christians, right? Little Christians. A godly mother does more than provide. She shapes lives with her wisdom and love. We see examples of godly mothers in Scripture. When we read about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, it says, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and He was granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. That passage really captures the heart of Hannah's faith and devotion. And Hannah, who had been barren, fervently prayed for a child, vowing that if God granted her a request, that she would dedicate her son to the Lord and to His service. Again, that Hebrew word, which is very important in this story, that word asked, it reflects both Hannah's deep desire and her recognition that her child ultimately belongs to God. And when God answered her prayer and gave her Samuel, whose name means, listen to this, ask of God. That's why that word's so important. I asked God and He provided. She didn't hold on to selfishness and hang on to the baby. She fulfilled her vow and she surrendered him to serve in the tabernacle with Eli. That's an act of faith, and it demonstrates that true motherhood is not always about ownership, but stewardship. We realize that our babies, our children, were given to us by God. We entrust children to God in raising them in His ways. And like Hannah, parents, we today are called to dedicate our children to the Lord, not just in a baby dedication, which we like to do, but by raising them in the fear of the Lord in instruction and as the Lord asks us to do in Ephesians chapter 6 and 4. It's again a reminder that children are a gift of God and given for His purpose and not just our own aspirations. And whether you're a parent or a grandparent or a spiritual mentor, pray for this next generation. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we all together pray. We need to pray for this next generation. We need to be, as a church family and as mothers and fathers, we need to, even if we don't have children, we need to be mentoring the kids and people around us to know Jesus. Then we become mothers, even not biological, but we can help these two little ones right here as examples. We can all be a part of that, helping them get to know Him. Amen. Mary, we look at Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," she says. "May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Man, that's a powerful statement. It reveals again the faith that Mary had and her obedience to God. And she faced with this unmanageable calling, really. Unimaginable. Bearing the Son of God, that's a pretty big request, right? All the social challenges and the responsibilities and the man, that, you know, that was a big deal in that day for a young girl of her age, not married yet, to be pregnant. Yet in this moment, Mary demonstrates this willingness to submit to God with her, despite her fears of uncertainties. That word servant, in the Greek word there, it reflects this humble submission. I think that's important for us to know. It's a willing surrender to God's purpose. And I would ask you to that, are you willingly surrendering to God today? Mary's response is the model of faithful discipleship too. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Think of that. How many times have you said that this week? Lord, let it be to me according to your word. How much better would our lives be if we lived every day like that? And even the Apostle Paul, we read, Paul says, "I die daily. I get up every day and I die out to Him. I have to give my life to Him." Her words here, it's how much she trusts God's plan, and even if it was going to be difficult, even if it was going to be challenging, she trusted God. Her humility, it reminds us that faith, again, often requires letting go of our own desires and aligning ourselves with the purposes of God, and even when it's uncomfortable or costly. That's true discipleship. It calls us to embrace God's will for our lives, and it's not a passive embracement. It's not a passive act. It's a joyful act of surrender. If you notice, Mary was joyful about it. I think we're called to respond to God's calling in obedience, even when it seems challenging, and even when it seems that we're too busy, and we can say as Mary did, I am the Lord's servant. The last I want to talk about this morning is Lois and Eunice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, Paul writing the letter to Timothy, he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. You know, Paul's praising Timothy's heritage of faith, and which was passed down from his grandmother and his mother. And I think that, again, also highlights the importance, moms, that we are passing down that tradition to our kids. We're passing on the faith that we have for God because our kids learn from us. Amen? People around us, not only our kids, but as Christian believers, as no more than churchgoers, right? Amen? We display who we belong to a world around us, that we belong to Christ, right? Our faith is displayed in our communities, in our workplaces, in our friends around us. And we can influence a generation and for generations. I can tell you right now, there's people in this church, some are still here and some have gone on, that really influenced my life as a young man. That they weren't my family, not biologically. They were my family in Christ. We have to be genuine. And that word genuine in the Greek, Paul uses it to describe Timothy's faith. And that word there in the Greek, when you look at it, it means without hypocrisy. Isn't that interesting? A faith without hypocrisy. Sincere and real. I think that's profound to me. It's Timothy's faith was sincere and without hypocrisy. It's not a faith based on outward appearance or religious rituals. It was deep and heartfelt and convicting. And I think it also reminds us that mothers and grandmothers often have a powerful influence in shaping the faith of this next generation. Lois and Eunice exemplified a quiet yet steadfast faith, which cultivated Timothy into a great pastor. I tell you that. He dealt with some stuff, I'll tell you. So I would say to you this morning, a Christian mother once said this, I read this quote, I had to put it in my message this morning. So my greatest joy is not in my children's success, but in knowing they walk with the Lord. Isn't that our prayer for our kids? Amen. Even us dads. I want to say this, that godly mothers are not perfect, but they are persistent in prayer and in faith and in love. They know that their role is not just to raise their children, but to raise disciples of Christ. Mothers, embrace your God-given role with joy. Amen? That's my challenge to you today. Maybe you messed up before, but you don't have to mess up today and tomorrow, right? Every one else of us, we can learn from the wisdom and faithfulness of godly mothers and spiritual mothers in our life. And I would challenge you to seek out mentors who can guide you and walk with you and keep you sanity, right? That's one of the toughest things in this world, is to keep our sanity, isn't it? I would challenge you to pray, moms. Pray. Charles Spurgeon said this one time, a mother's prayer is a child's pathway to God. Fervently pray. A mother's intercession can shape a child's destiny, just as Hannah's prayer changed the course of Samuel's life. The prayers of a godly mother provide this spiritual covering and guidance for her children. So I would say to know God. Know God. Pray for your kids. Isaiah 66 says, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Because God's love is the safest place a soul can rest. So on this Mother's Day this morning, as we honor our mothers and all who have nurtured us in love of Christ, we can learn from these examples of godly mothers. And don't forget to honor your mom today. But above all, let us remember that the true love that we have is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And He invites us all to come to know Him. And when we know Him, it makes this life a lot better, doesn't it? And just as many mothers that I know never gives up on their children, God never gives up on you. And His arms today are open wide. And He's inviting you to just come to Him today. And as much as we honor and celebrate mothers, let us never forget that our perfect Heavenly Father, He loves us with an everlasting love. He's always faithful. He's always present. And He's always ready to receive us as beloved children. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray a special prayer upon these great group of people who have come here this morning to celebrate not only just Mother's Day, but to celebrate a relationship with a Heavenly Father who loves us. And so, Lord, I just pray again as we leave here today that we leave better than we came, full of love and full of grace and full of mercy, but also full of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be great examples in this world that we live in as we nurture this next generation. And I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.